Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be. Hey chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons and tips to help make you rich in life.
Rich.
And today we're chatting how we can support the Australian arts and music industry during a fun little cost of living crisis.
Cozy lives.
Yeah, the cozy lives doll. It gets us again. But to do that, we're joined by Triple J's Lucy Smith. Yay! Welcome to the show, Lush.
I am so excited. This feels like a long time coming.
It has. No, friend of the show.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
Lucy and I went to high school together. So it's a long history between the two of us.
I know. Yeah. And now we're putting it on tape.
I know.
Look, people don't know what they're in for.
I'm scared.
Basically another musical episode we've been singing the whole time before we started recording. It's like one person says one word that's like within a song and then the other person just breaks into it.
We're off.
Yeah.
It's a sign of a true friendship, I think.
It truly is.
Yeah. But before we get into the juicy stuff of the episode, we love to start with a life lesson of the week. So, Lucy, do you want to kick us off?
Absolutely. When you're at a wedding, and I learned this a couple of weeks ago, you'll get a sparkling on arrival. Mm-hmm. They might do a champagne and canapes kind of hour while the couple are off getting photos. When you sit down at the table, when you're at your setting, that's when the sparkling has to stop. And then you need to move to a still wine or a spirit, maybe if it's in the package, but you need to stop on the sparkling. I don't know how many times I need to learn this lesson, but a sparkling wine hangover is not it. It is the most acidic hangover of your life.
It's fucked.
And even if maybe mixing drinks is a bit worse for you, I just think it takes the edge off just a little bit.
Absolutely.
So when you are sat, the sparkling stops. I'm sat. So, yeah, that's my life lesson.
You're
for
so
now,
real
forever.
For that.
Yeah.
I love that. But there's just something different about a sparkling wine. Like, they're so fun, especially when you're like, ooh, do you?
Yeah. So refreshing as well. But no, you got to call it.
See, I would go to say, for me, a red wine hangover is worse than a champagne hangover.
Yeah.
They're both dog shit.
Yeah.
I will say that on the record. Okay. I'm going to upset you.
Why?
Because I'm upset.
Ah.
I finished Crescent City 3 last night.
What happened?
And
the whole synopsis, please. Go.
And as I think all like our book talk girlies, we've all been very excited for this. It was like the big book for Sarah J. Maas. And I'm not going to spoil anything for those who haven't read it yet. I was a bit disappointed.
Why?
I was a bit disappointed. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a bit more of like a crescendo and it was more like an A flat. It was more like a wrap up. And I just was left with like questions. Like I thought things were building that just kind of went with like a little bow on it. And I was like, oh, what? That what I think has potentially happened is like Sarah J. Maas is such a talented writer that I think she's built such a big, expansive world that when she was writing this book, she probably ended up with like a 2,000-page book.
Mm.
And her publisher has potentially been like, we cannot publish a 2,000-page book.
Yeah.
That she's had to wrap some things that or storylines that maybe she want to wrap up.
And was this the final book in the series?
This is the final book in the series from the two main characters' perspectives, and then we're going to, like, go off into some more side stories.
Okay.
Which I was like, but I kind of wanted to fuck some more shit up.
I was like, wait, what? And it just kind of wraps really quickly.
Okay, for like, do you know what, for 2 seconds, this is a spoiler, like fast forward 2 minutes if you don't want to hear the spoiler. It was just a happy ending. And I was like, where's the drama?
Yeah, where's the crying?
The character, again, this is a spoiler, skip if you don't want to listen to this, Aileen wasn't in it. And I wanted, because they crossed over with ACOTAR, and then I thought we were going to get the crossover.
You thought you were going to get like an Avengers-style
crossover. And they were all
going to
meet, and I was like, bring that bitch in. That's my girl. These people don't exist. They're doing my heart.
Look.
And she wasn't in it. Okay. Spoiler free. We're good now.
Mm.
And so I think the life lesson is maybe to not get too wrapped up in theories or like get too hyped for things that, you know, an author hasn't necessarily promised or like things that haven't been promised, because we all on Book Talk were like, this is happening. It's going to be great. And it's not her fault because she never promised it would be.
Yeah.
The biggest, wildest thing in the whole world. But I was a bit disappointed. I finished it and I was like, eh.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people would have had that experience with Game of Thrones when that wrapped up.
That's how it felt. Like, I still loved it. I still loved hanging out with my friends, my fictional ones.
But, yeah, if you read
and there
too
wasn't
many...
any sex. It was like 10% sex.
Wow.
I didn't gird anyone's loins.
Come on.
Anyway.
Your much. Poor throbbing member.
I know. His engorged length wasn't there and someone just walked past the studio. Sorry.
Yeah, no engorged lengths. What's the point?
Anyway.
So fucking boring.
Yeah. All right. So what's yours, Salabay?
Speaking of throbbing members, my life lesson is like the least sexy thing ever. But it's a practical tip. And it's a good reminder.
We have to have some light and shade and yin and yang.
Light and shade.
Yeah.
But I was shopping for a new microwave on the weekend. Boring, slappy,
but
lazy.
I love that I gasped. I was like,
this is me with my ceiling fan. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But it's a good reminder that when you're in shops like The Good Guys or Bingley or wherever you're shopping, look at the prices online because they're so often priced cheaper online. When you go up to the checkout, it may still be the cheaper price when you go to pay for it, but that will skew like the products that you're comparing if you're not actually looking at the correct prices. Because I was looking at one and was like, oh no, like we could get this one and it's $40 cheaper, and then I looked it up online and I was like, wait, no, the one I want is actually cheaper. So it's just a good reminder to check online as well, even when you're in the store.
Also, price match the shit out of those stores.
Yeah,
they like get your Elle Woods on and be like, actually, I know that Harvey Norman will give this to me for this much. How much are you going to do for Good Guys?
I object.
Exactly.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Go in.
But let's get into the meat of the episode, shall we? Okay, so to get our chicks up to speed, if they're not acquainted with Lucy Smith, can you give us a little elevator pitch, a little background about yourself and what you do at Triple J?
So I'm the host of mornings on Triple J. So I broadcast 9 till 12, Monday to Friday. And broadcasting is what I've done for about 10 years. So I previously did it at community radio stations in Wollongong and Sydney. And I'm just, I get really on edge when people on dates are like to me, but what do you do outside of work? Because I feel like I'm one of those very lucky people who has turned their hobbies into a job.
Yeah.
So I feel like at times a professional gig pig. I love live music. And kind of that's me in a nutshell, I guess, in a professional sense. And I guess why I can talk about what we're about to dive into.
Yeah, it's your passion and your profession.
Yes.
Which exactly. We love.
So we're going to get into the juicy stuff straight away, basically. But in the wake of the cancellations of Splendor in the Grass and Groove in the Moo this year, there have been a lot of conversations about, like, the downfall and future of local festivals. There are a lot of contributing factors, but why is this happening?
How much time have we got?
How long is a piece of string?
I feel like I think of an issue and then it's so systemic and layered and there's so many different elements, but I think it comes down to three main factors, and this is something that Mitch Wilson, who's the managing director of Australian Festivals Association, has cited as well. So the first one, we'll get it out of the way, cost of living crisis. It's no secret that people are being very picky about where they are putting their money. This is your bread and butter. This is what you guys talk about every week. People are only committing to things that they know are a guaranteed good time, and, you know, and it kind of also leads into the next issue as well, which is that audience ticket buying behaviours have changed exponentially since the pandemic. So I think people only want to spend money on things that they know are a done deal, that they're going to go to, they're going to have a good time, they know the artists that they're seeing. And particularly around that, it has never been easier to buy a ticket the week of an event.
Yes.
I think apps like Tixel have been amazing when it comes to limiting scalping. However, how many of us have not bought a ticket to an event when it's gone on sale because we've gone, I'll try for resale later?
Yeah.
So that works for standalone shows because they've already kind of got the infrastructure in place to make that show happen. Why it doesn't work for a festival is because there are so many overheads that need to be paid for pretty much within that first week of sales. That was a comment that I saw a lot, be it Groove in the Moo, be it Splendor in the Grass. So many people saying, but I was going to buy a ticket, or I was going to buy a ticket once I got paid, or I wanted to buy a ticket in a month. But unfortunately, there is so much that needs to be paid for before we can get even into paying the artists. We're talking sound, infrastructure, insurance, so much as well, particularly in New South Wales, around licensing and security and police costs. There are so many things that need to be paid for that in that first week, the writing's on the wall. And that's why a lot of people were surprised when they're like, but tickets only just went on sale.
Yeah.
They know. They know. So those audience ticket buying behaviours, we're kind of no longer selling out events in the week that they're
Which they
on
would.
Sale. Yeah, which they usually
Splendor
would.
Splendor in the Grass used to sell out in like hours.
It would be like people like with Fred Again Now.
Yeah.
Like you'd waiting. Be like, you'd put it in your calendar at work to be like, I've got to get Splendor tickets.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You'd have the group chat would be on fire.
Reminders, you'd have people on different laptops, you know. And that leads to the next point, which is another major thing in that the Australian dollar at the moment is shithouse. It is not good.
Yeah.
So people noting, I maybe don't want to go to that festival because I want a good international headliner. You would notice that maybe they're not bringing in the international headliners that we're used to. We're seeing a lot of comparisons lately with look at the lineups of yesteryear compared to now. The thing is, if an international act is going to come our way, we're very far away, first of all, from your UKs or USs. It costs a lot to bring people out here. So if they are going to make the effort to come here, you'll find that they'll only do their own tour so they can bag all that cash. They're not going to jump on a festival lineup because often that's a festival exclusive.
Yeah.
It costs so much to bring acts out here at the moment. It's paying crew. It's cargo. Cargo is so expensive at the moment. So that is why Taylor Swift, SZA, Fred Again, they're all selling out their tours, but they're standalone moments for the artist.
Mm.
Yeah. So those would be my three big things. Cost of living, ticket buying behaviour, and the fact that our Aussie dollar is kind of shit and we can't really get the international headliners we want in a festival setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is as well, managing like a group and like a group chat and getting your friends all on board, one of the hardest things you can
do. It is. It's a full-time
job. It's like herding cats.
That is something that I find so interesting, right, since the pandemic as well. I think we are so much more comfortable now with staying in and owning staying in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've almost gotten a bit of a dating app effect as well because we look at an event and go, what if something better comes along? What if something actually happens? Like, what if someone else locks in an event
or
on that
I'll
night?
Wait to see if everyone else buys tickets and then I'll buy a ticket.
Yeah.
You don't really want to lock in on an event until. And we're all guilty of it, right? I had two tickets to a gig the other day in my Mosh Ticks basket and then I went, oh, but it's when I get back from holiday, so I might just wait until the week of. That is the antithesis of what the industry wants or needs at the moment. Yeah. I'm guilty of it too.
And you did that recently as well. You're like, do you know what? I'll wait till closer in the day to see what the weather is. Like, I think there's just this, we're so much, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, but we're so much more protective of like our money for things that we're not 100% sure of. And with everything that's going on, we're not like 100% sure.
And can you blame people? People have been burned since COVID because how many event cancellations did we see?
I felt so bad for Pitch, hey, because like so many people bought tickets and that was actually a festival
at the event.
Was successful and then it was the weather and it's like, fuck, can we catch a break?
Exactly right. You know, people maybe don't want to commit to an event because they're like, well, you know what? I committed during COVID and that event got cancelled X amount of times. Mm. I had to wait X amount of months for a refund on my ticket.
Yeah.
And that cost maybe kept carrying over to the, you know, revised date or revised lineup. I can understand how people have lost that trust in the events industry as well and in the festival industry. So there are so many different layers to it. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's hard not to feel like, oh, back in my day, we would blah, blah. But like, it is kind of sad though, because you would look back at, you know, like Splendor in the Grass or Laneway or Falls, you know, all of these amazing festivals, Big Day Out, Soundwave, that Australia has or has had for some of the ones that have fallen off. And they were a rite of passage for young people. And sure, there might be like five artists on the lineup that you loved, but you're still going for the experience and being like, cool, this is an opportunity for me to spend time with my friends but also discover new artists.
Yes. And get a really cool outfit.
Yeah.
Get a cool outfit. Get the pick. Like,
yeah.
I think what's really quite sad about that is that you have a generation of, let's say, 16 to 18-year-olds who were inside for 2 to 3 pivotal years of their life doing your remote learning, not going to parties, not going on road trips, not going to festivals. They're missing out on those really formative opportunities. And the thing is, you don't have FOMO for something you never missed.
So true.
People, I think, used to go to Splendor, they'd go to Falls, they'd go to Groovin, whatever festival, every single year because that's what you did.
Yeah.
Regardless of the lineup, the group chat was already going off before the dates had been announced. It was something that people went to like it was a pilgrimage, you know?
Yeah.
And now you've got a generation of kids who didn't have that. And so
that's such a good point.
Why would you enter into something or get excited for something that you never really experienced? There is a tradition there that's kind of lost. And that I think is really sad. That's something that makes me really sad as well, because I think those were formative experiences between me and my friends, making new friends, finding love, finding, you know, be it with punters or with artists. It really does break my heart that there are some people who haven't experienced that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But not all hope is lost, right? Like, we've seen festivals come and go throughout the years and, like, you know, that's kind of just the circle of life, I suppose. But in your opinion, what is the solution for this and what can be done to revive some of these festivals and the Australian live music scene in general?
I actually really love a statement that came out from the Australian Festival Association following Splendor's cancellation, because I think it's really easy to look at individuals or consumers, but we need at a national level to show and recognise that music, arts and culture is worth spending money on. It can't be up to one person or, you know, there's only so much we can do, right? And so there needs to be a national approach, and that's what they've said in this statement. They've said the Australian Festival Association calls on the Albanese Labor government to substantially increase and continue the Live Music Australia grants for festivals in the upcoming federal budget. So it's actually looking at this budget and saying how much you're allocating, because that's where it all stems from. That's the trickle-down effect. It's also looking at state governments as well, because while they are having these really great initiatives when it comes to different movements like the Always Live Victoria campaigns, Great Southern Nights in New South Wales, how can you also invest money into pre-existing festivals that already have that cultural backing, that have that reputation, kind of looking at funneling that money there. Also, they specifically looked at the MINS, Labor New South Wales government, when it comes to police presence at festivals, liquor licensing, medical and ambulance costs. Those insurance costs are so expensive, and even more so since COVID. So that was another thing that they specifically addressed. And also they made the call out to festival goers to buy their tickets as early as they possibly could, and also acknowledge that the strength of the Australian dollar, or the lack thereof, isn't really great at the moment. So I would encourage you, those are the steps that they have really done a rally cry for, and we'll just have to see if they come to fruition with the next budget and over the next year. They have to.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, what's like the number one way that Australians can support local artists and musicians specifically?
I would say, okay, financially, constructively, buy your tickets early. However, I think holistically, we need to be more open to discovery.
Yeah.
And we need to take a chance on discovery. I think the pandemic really encouraged all of us to find solace in nostalgia, in comfort, in familiarity. We were listening to records that reminded us of the good times. We were watching TV shows that we knew the ending of because it was familiar. And I think we really need to get back into the habit of just going outside our algorithms, you know, going, if you're on a streaming service particularly as well, going outside of what's served to you, taking a chance on an artist that you've never heard before, going to a band night and going for the support act who maybe you don't know. Like, and really kind of, I think, utilizing music venues as your third space. And that's something that we've been talking a lot about lately. Seeking out moments that are free as well. There are so many free acts that you can check out, even if it's just an acoustic guitar player at your local light, like dive bar.
I like, love that.
Yes. So it's just really, I think, all of us having to just put in a little bit of extra effort and just taking a chance on the unknown, you know, because that's where you find magic, you know, and not just going for the AI DJ or, you know.
Yeah. And I do love DJ X.
So do I.
We're not taking, sounds, no slander against DJ X.
Sounds like y'all hear me out is DJ X. And then when they like posted a reel of the guy that was DJ X, I was like, I told you he was real. And I was like, oh my God, girl, it's fine.
But it was like, but you know when you, someone isn't what their voice isn't what you thought they were going to look like.
It was the exact opposite.
It was exactly what I pictured.
But I completely agree. And while I agree that it does take a little bit of extra effort, the benefit that you get from like the good time that you're going to have on a night out seeing a live acoustic artist at a bar, or staying and watching, or like going a little early and watching the support act, or listening to like a playlist or a radio station that's going to be supporting local artists. Like the benefits of the enjoyment that you're going to have from discovering these new things and having these experiences way outweighs the little bit of effort that you're putting in to get there.
I think as well, taking the pressure off thinking that like every single interaction with music is going to be like the best night of your life.
Yes.
But other than like going to your pub and watching local artists, which is free, if the budget's tight, what are some of the best ways that young Aussies can support local artists without spending money or a lot of money?
I have something that you can do literally right now, depending on what platform you're listening on. I would love you to think of one artist, possibly a new one, possibly a newer discovery, that you have found, an Australian artist that you really love, maybe a particular song has struck you. I want you to find them on your preferred streaming platform. Maybe they have a song that's on the way, pre-save it. Maybe you have a particular track that you really like it. And that might seem really easy or simple. In fact, maybe right now, once this episode has ended, listen to the song in full, let it get to the end. Because as you both would know, I would love if we could just run off vibes, but unfortunately the fat cats need data. They want data to make their decisions and to make sure they know to put a good investment into you. So if you are pre-saving, liking, if you're listening to a song to its full duration, that says to them, wow, look at these figures of how many people have pre-saved this new single from this band. Oh my goodness, so many people are liking this new track. That's why you'll often see artists put up maybe a snippet of a song on TikTok. Mm. And if you notice in the caption, the solicit is often, go and pre-save my song.
Mm. Yeah.
Which means that they are building a hype and this is all a runoff, right? It means that the right conversations are happening behind the scenes for these artists. It means that they're looking at that data and going, all right, we've got X amount of people listening to this artist in Sydney. That means we can do their debut show at this venue. It could be the difference between the size of a venue that someone is playing. It could be the difference between how much money they're going to spend on a shoot campaign. So it's literally just you giving a marker of like, yes, I support this artist. I'm behind this artist. I'm into it. And really just, I don't know, follow your faves on socials, like their posts, that kind of thing. I think just kind of giving that enthusiasm day to day on a method that they can see it means that these conversations are happening at the top.
Yeah, like embrace being a fangirl.
Yes, exactly.
Like embrace being like, I fucking love them. Yep. Like, be obsessed.
But that pre-save, that follow on those platforms is so important. That is why Fred Again, for instance, can sell out 3 Kudos Bank Arenas, an entire Domain, and a Sydney Opera House because he has however many monthly listeners, 600,000 of them are from Sydney alone. So they know that they can sell out that many venues in Sydney.
Wild.
That's a large scale. But think of the smaller artists that, you want to give a bit of a nudge.
Yeah, give that leg up. I love that. We're all ready to go out and support some local artists, go to some shows, but we need to build up a gig guide. Where do we go? What do we do, Lucy?
Oh, I love this. So,
yeah, come on, gig pig.
Yes, right? So not to plug, but I am going to subtly plug. One of my favourite things that the Triple J socials team do is every Friday, sometimes on a Thursday, they'll put up just an Instagram post. It's called What's On This Weekend. You swipe across and every single state will have a bunch of local gigs that are on. These are kind of smaller to mid-tier venues. And it is just so good to see across the nation all the gigs that are happening in the next 72 hours. I can be a last minute girly. Mm. So if you are someone who just kind of gets to your weekend and then that's when you're going to figure out what you're doing, go for that.
That's so helpful though, especially when you're going out with your friends and you're like, where should we go?
Where should we go?
Yeah. Like pull that up.
You know, get that up. pick the venues around that particular one. If you are someone who plans a little more in advance, we've got a touring tab on the Triple J website where you can see all the upcoming tours. But from more of a local grassroots level, look up the community radio station in your area, and I would almost guarantee on their socials or their website they have a gig guide. Mm-hmm. So that is for me, and you know, all the what's on websites as well that you would find. So just really utilize those, put in a little bit of effort, and that's where I would say, yeah, that's where I get them. Yeah,
I love that. Well, obviously Triple J is such a support for Australian local artists. Who are five Australian artists that people should add to their rotation?
Okay, so my first one is Miss Kanina. She has a song called Black Britney where she says, I'm a deadly bitch, a Black Britney Spears. So I know that you would both be across that. She is a staunch First Nations woman. I'm obsessed with Miss Kanina. My other one is a favourite of mine from Melbourne. She's a producer called Pretty Girl. If you like that really kind of ambient but pop electronic, you'll get around her. Chloe Dad is an amazing guitarist, musician, singer out of Sydney. If you're a fan of the 1975, you're gonna like Chloe. Really great pop stuff. My fourth is a producer out of Brisbane named One Tablespoon, and I like his hand, like his name, because it's literally like so on a recipe. Stupid. One Tablespoon.
Do you know what though? I'd be the type of person that got it wrong because I'm such a fucking loser.
You'd be like, guys, we're gonna go see One TBSP.
I'd be like, we're gonna see
we're going to see four. Everyone.
And everyone would be like, do you mean one tablespoon? And I'd be like, yeah, it was a joke. I'd be that fucking loser. I'd do that all the time.
He's doing great electronic dance stuff. And then my final one is Goldfang, who has been putting on reggaeton events but is also just so good in the like dance hall reggaeton space. Very sexy, if I could say that. But yeah,
you can. Yeah. You absolutely can.
So Goldfang is my last of the five. And, yeah, all great local talent. Go check them out. Yeah. Pre-save their songs.
Pre-save.
Yes. Do the full thing.
Yeah, love that. All good
homework.
All good tips.
Mm.
But to wrap up, so you did mention you've been working across the Australian music, arts and media scene for over 10 years now, which is amazing because you're only 18. But,
yeah.
You just turned 18, right?
Prodigy. No, it's just
you're
crazy.
Just an adult. You only just started drinking for the first time.
I know, it's so cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But what's the biggest life lesson that you've had so far from this journey?
Okay. I'm going to butcher this quote, but someone sent it to me once and it was like, don't be so busy thinking what's next that you forget you're right in the middle of what you used to look forward to. So I think, and I get it a lot, so what's next for you? What's next for you? And then I think, I've got my dream job right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just do that for a bit? You know what I mean? Like, so just, and I think it's a very, I think it's a very millennial thing. You're always thinking, how can I upskill? How can I do the best? How can I go on to the next thing? But it's just kind of like, I think it's okay to just stop and realize and look at where you are.
Mm-hmm.
However, my other point would be, remember that even if you have your dream job or you're in your dream industry, a job is still just that. It's a job.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to have shit days. I think particularly in the arts and music industry, it's such a bottleneck industry that you feel as if you ever get frustrated or angry with it, you feel this guilt because you're like, I'm so lucky to be here and I should really be. That's what they want you to think. You know what I mean? That's what the man wants you to think.
Miss Mullins. You know? She's the man.
Miss Mullins.
Yeah. You're allowed to not be entirely happy with your job sometimes, even if it is your dream job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still work.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck, my co-host pisses me off all the time. Oh, is
it? That's DJ X.
That's DJ X to you.
Bitch. Oh, no, my God. Well, kidding. That was amazing, Lucy. This has been such a long time coming for you to come on the show. And it was everything I hoped and dreamed it would be.
Thank you so much for having me. I love what you two do. And remember, pre-save, like, subscribe to Two Broke Chicks episodes because they need that data as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give us the ad campaign.
Yeah. Seriously, that's it.
Attach me to the end of every episode saying that.
TikTok Spark ads, done.
Yes. That's the clue.
Exactly. But where can the chicks find you and hear more from you?
Oh, I love this. Okay. my handle? At Lucy Smith on all platforms, no vowels. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having me.
And thanks to you, chicks, for having us in your ear holes. We absolutely love to be here.
Love it. And thank you to MIK Made for making today's episode happen. We love you guys too.
Smash.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lucy.
Bye.